Turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 4 responsively. I'll read the first verse. We'll all read the second verse together and so on. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Joshua 3, verse 1 through 4. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for this passage, especially a little phrase that I'm going to pull out and preach from. I pray, dear God, you give us ears to hear. And I sure do pray that we would all, dear God, do what's necessary for us to have a happy new year. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want you to notice the last 8 words of verse 4. It says, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now, Joshua is about to take the people of Israel over the Jordan River and into the land of Canaan, the land of promise. They were going to leave the past behind. They were going to embark on a whole new experience. Today, we stand on the threshold of a brand new year. And on Wednesday, we will start the year 2025. For many, it will be a relief to put 2024 in the rearview mirror. You see, this past year, there have been the death of loved ones. And for many others, unwelcome surprises. And although God has seen us through and strengthened us during those times, our hearts are filled with a better year ahead. This last week, I think, I got a card, a Christmas card, and it said, happy 4 more years, in reference to the election. But you know what? Our happiness doesn't come from the White House. Our happiness comes from the Lord. Now, a new year is just days away. And I, for one, believe a new year is a time for a fresh start. Many will start a new Bible reading program that'll ensure that they read the entire Word of God through. Some will want to spend more time in prayer this year. Others plan to be more faithful to the services of the church. You will have those who plan to start tithing and giving to missions. Then there will be those who commit themselves to leading others to Christ this upcoming year. Some will resolve to start an exercise program. Others vow to go on a diet. But every one of us should pledge that we would leave last year's failures and sins and hurts behind us and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. While we do not know what lies ahead, for we have not passed this way before, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, draw nigh to him, and be doers of the word, we will indeed have a happy new year come what may. There will always be those who will only make one resolution for the new year, and that is they resolve not to make another resolution that they won't keep. But if we don't set some goals spiritually, especially this time of year, it is certain that we will not make spiritual progress that we want to make. Now, all of us could, and all of us should, be better Christians at the end of the year 2025 than we currently are. Now, I'm an optimist. And though on January 1st I get a fresh start with the same old goal of pleasing my Lord and doing His will, I still look forward to doing so with renewed anticipation. in the few days that follow the holiday greeting of Merry Christmas, we're going to be saying Happy New Year to those that we meet. And do we not really want those we care about to have a Merry Christmas or to have had one? And don't we want them to really have a Happy New Year? Sure we do. But here's the question I posed to you this morning. What about you? Will you be happy this upcoming year? You do know you live in America. And in the Declaration of Independence, it says we have certain inalienable rights, such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of what? Happiness. Yet when you look around, so many pursuing happiness are miserable, for they're looking for happiness in all the wrong places. Some think fame will make them happy. Others, man, if I just had wealth, I'd be one happy camper. The obtaining of things, such as perhaps a big, beautiful home, a fast, brand new sports car, a large financial portfolio. Some believe happiness is found in an adrenaline rush and take an unnecessary risk with their life. Others pursue happiness in the pleasures of sin, and they find out it only lasts for a season. Then some will think, man, happiness is found in marriage and in having a family. I wonder if you have ever thought about making a list of what it would take for you to be happy. And I wonder what would be on that list. Would it be that dream job? That 100-inch big screen TV? A new Ram truck? See, that's why you're not going to be happy this year. A second home on the lake? Early retirement? An exotic vacation? Well, suppose things change drastically for you, and all of a sudden you find you are stricken with terminal cancer. One of your children and grandchildren has passed away. Maybe your spouse becomes confined to a wheelchair. Our dear friend of yours is missing and hasn't been heard from. All of a sudden, those things on your list that you thought would make you happy would be looked at as foolish, childish, selfish, and worthless. Because none of those things on that list will ever make anyone truly happy. Yet so many will live and die in the pursuit of those things. I'm even convinced that there are those who are truly born again who thought that salvation would bring them lifelong bliss, but found out such is not the case. While there is joy in having one's name written permanently down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there is joy in salvation and having your sins forgiven, and the fruit of the Spirit that indwells us includes joy, many believers still remain unhappy. They insist on being so. Yes, Jesus has told his disciples to be a good cheer. Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. And we are told numerous times in the Word of God how to be blessed, which means to be happy. Yet so many Christians look miserable. I tell you, there is no worse advertisement for Christianity than a despondent, discontented believer. Listen, prior to being saved, I looked at church-going folks. And whether they were saved or not, I do not know. But one thing I knew was, I didn't want whatever made them so wretched looking. I wouldn't get close to them in case it was contagious. Very few would smile. Very few were genuinely happy. I thought to myself, I guess it's better to live in the pleasure of sin than to be a pious saint. Things haven't changed much over the years for God's people. They still seem to like wearing a smile upside down. I recall reading a story about a little girl who was brought up by parents who were part of a group of believers who thought it was pleasing to the Lord to walk around with a dreary, droopy look on their face. One day she went to a farm, and she saw this horse in a stall. And as she was stroking the horse, she was overheard saying, "Oh, horsey, you must be a good Christian, for you have such a long face." When you read the Bible, and you read this in Isaiah 53, verse 3 of Jesus, it says that he was a man of sorrows. Now, you don't have to take that as your life verse. That doesn't apply to you. Nor do you need to convince others that your sour disposition is being like Jesus. No one will believe you. For God, numerous times in the scripture, says his people should be characterized by a happy outlook on life. Psalm 144:15 says, "Happy is that people that is such a case, yet happy is that people whose God is the what? Lord." Perhaps one's unhappiness is due to their giving preeminence to something other than Jesus in their life. If such is the case, one best get their priorities straight. Psalm 146, verse 5 tells us, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Should one wonder why happiness eludes them when they turn to everyone else or everything else but God for help? Is their unhappy testimony convincing others that there is no help from God above? I believe that to be true. Proverbs 16:20 reads, "Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Now it is almost certain that unhappiness is a telltale sign that there is an area or areas in one's life that they refuse to trust the Lord for. And this would lead one to worry and care, and a worrisome believer is not a happy believer. One purpose God has for believers in this world is found in Titus chapter 2 verse 10, where it states that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now, God meant for our lives as saints to make the Christian life as attractive and inviting as possible so the lost will want what we have. But who in their right mind would want what a sad sack believer has? We are to draw others to Jesus by our happy outlook on life. We are not to destroy our testimony by being a cheerless Charlie or a Debbie Downer. All of us struggle at times to overcome disappointment, disillusionment. Oh, I'm sorry, Debbie. Despair and discouragement at times. We all battle that. But these things should not define us. You know, we read these verses in Psalm 42, verse 5 and verse 11. Here David writes, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, when you read these verses, you seem to think, man, here's a guy that's got a downcast soul, right? But that's not something that is a regular occurrence in his life. He's wondering, why is this happening to me? This is not normal for me. But I've met many Christians who this is normal for. Times like these, where we get downcast and discouraged, are to be the exception. We should not allow those things to rule our life. There is and always will be hope in God. So start praising him and see if the sun don't start shining again. Even David, the man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, got discouraged. And people were against him. But he dropped the diss of discouragement and in his place put an E-N and encouraged himself in the Lord, and his whole demeanor was changed. We see that in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 6. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives. Now, who were that? That was their wives, right? That were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people, and David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and what? Wept. Until they had no more what? Power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly what? Distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Notice it doesn't say anything about his wives there. But what did David do? He encouraged what? Now, was he relying on somebody else to encourage him? He encouraged himself what? Do you see that? I truly believe that David took charge of his own spirit, and he went from being discouraged by people to being encouraged in the Lord. Now, Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his what? Spirit than he that taketh a city. Sounds to me like happiness or unhappiness is a choice we as individuals will make. If one is to have a happy new year, it'll largely depend upon them choosing to be happy. You can be happy if, number one, you focus on what you have and count your blessings. If you focus on what you have and count your blessings. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation or manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, when we go back all the way to the beginning of the Bible, we take a look at Adam and Eve in the garden. Now, they had it all, did they not? They had a perfect place to live. A perfect marriage. They had no sin to deal with. But they lost it all. Because they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They partook of the one thing they were not to have. They were not content with everything else they had. But they wanted that one thing God forbade them to have. Listen, how often are we guilty of grumbling and complaining about something we think we should have, but we don't? Yet we totally overlook and take for granted the many blessings that come into our lives on a daily basis. A grateful heart is a sure source of a happy life. We need to be thankful for all that we do have, as well as all the problems and heartaches that we don't have. Being thankful gives us a much better outlook. So count your blessings and be grateful for what you do have. Number two, if you are to have a happy new year, let what you don't have become a prayer list rather than complaining about it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, be careful for nothing. What are we supposed to worry about? Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, how many here think God wants us to pray? Sure. He wants us to realize we need Him, and often we have not, simply because we what? Ask not. We need to be more conscious of complaining than we are. You know that complaining ought to vex our soul so much because it grieves the Lord when we do so. So what's the answer to the sin of murmuring? To the sin of griping? Well, how about taking what we have need of to the throne of grace where we can get the help that we need? Why do we feel the need to take our complaints to people? They don't want to hear them. And you know what? Most of the time they can't do anything about them. You know one thing is I don't like being around a complaining person. Anybody else? Man, you know what? It seems like, you know, I avoid them like the plague of leprosy. And I'll stay away 10 feet or more from them. I just don't want to hear it. You say, why is that? Because I'm trying to protect my spirit. I don't want them sinning against me. I don't want them to take the happiness I have and suck it out of my life. You know, there are people in this world that their whole mission is to suck the joy out of everybody else. You know, you say, who? I'll name you two. And they're both named Joy. Joy Reed on the readout. You shouldn't be watching MSN LSD. But if you do, you'll see that she sucks the joy out. She never makes the world a worse place to live in. And the other is Joy Behar. You know, they should never be named Joy because they don't live up to that name. They are on The View and they're nothing but nagging Nellies. They discourage you. But you know what? There's God's people the same way. Now let me ask you. Is God able to meet our need? Does prayer accomplish much good? Now what does complaining do? Well, it gives us a bad name. And it is sin, and it displeases the Lord. Now, does God hear and answer prayer? Don't we not read this in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 and 10? And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Then we read this in Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now I think if we would pray about the things we complain about, it wouldn't be long before we wouldn't have anything left to complain about. Those who are so used to complain would now complain that they don't have anything to complain about. Answered prayer is a vital part of who God is, what He wants to do in our life. In Psalm 65, verse 2, it says, O thou that hearest prayer, You hear that? Unto thee shall all flesh come. Now, we all will have problems that we won't have an answer for. But should we not take them to the one who has the answer? You say, but I need a miracle. You're out of luck. No. Why not ask him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us? I'm telling you, take those gripes and grumbles and turn them into sincere prayer requests and see the difference it'll make in your happiness this upcoming year. And by the way, other people might want to be around you then. Number three, if you are to have a happy new year, don't be ruled by your feelings. Don't be ruled by your feelings. Now, I know you're all waiting to hear my solo on that. You can't wait. But I'm going to forego that this time. All right. Do not encourage me. There's no encouragement amongst you jackals. What? But once again, listen to what Proverbs 16:32 says. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his what? Spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, I hope you understand we all have emotions. We can either allow them to control us, or we can choose, listen to this, to control them. Now, as a Christian, we are to operate by faith and not on how we feel. So many, and mostly women, will get tore out of the frame, have a meltdown, and lose it over some minor matter. Just because you have a bad hair day, you broke a nail, or have a run in your stocking, shouldn't send you over the cliff. So you forgot what's on the grocery list. Do you really need to wig out over it? Guys, do you really need to go off like an atom bomb because you explained something to your wife for the 12th time and she still doesn't get it? We all had our moments When our emotions got the best of us. But this year, before that happens, why not take a deep breath? Why not ask the Lord for his help in reining in those ungodly emotions? Let's master our emotions before they master us. Now, we all have feelings, but none of us can afford to let our feelings have us. Certainly, it's all right to cry. I would venture to say the past year there's been some tears shed amongst us. I can only speak for myself, but I know others who have cried. They have suffered losses this year, grave losses. And you know what? It's okay. We ought to grieve over loved ones who have passed on. But that same level of grief and sorrow is uncalled for just because your spouse failed to give you a box of chocolates on Valentine's Day. Are you listening to me? And here's the thing. You want the chocolates, but did you get him anything? Just a thought. Why can't we choose to maintain a right, happy spirit, praising God always? You know, that goes a long way in developing a right spirit. Now, if you are to have a happy new year, then keep and maintain a merry heart. Keep and maintain a merry heart. Now, Proverbs 15:15 says this, All the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. So many of the saints are afflicted with the poor old me syndrome. And their victimhood only leads to evil and unhappy days. But if you choose, if you what? Choose a merry heart, you can enjoy all your days like you would be attending a feast. All of us know of some people who make life better. We enjoy their company. And when we are around them, they seem to have this effect upon us that just lifts our spirit. But we also know those other people. And they never fail to make life less enjoyable. Now, who's responsible for their spirit? They are. Who's responsible for ours? We are. And you know what? It would do good to either tell them to hush up or not be around them. Those who brighten our day, listen to this, have just as many heartaches and problems like those who complain. But you know what? They made a choice. They choose to be happy and they choose to be joyous. They focus on the goodness of God, the bright future that awaits them, and they know that holiness and happiness are co-joined twins. Gladness and godliness walk together, and rejoicing and righteousness go together like horseradish mustard on a brat. Not yellow mustard, horseradish. So this year, let's cultivate a clean, merry heart and allow it to show up on our face. Proverbs 15:13 says this, a merry heart maketh a cheerful... Whoa! You know, I get up here and I look out there and so many look like droopy. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with these people? Why do you got to look like droopy? Why can't you be happy once in a while? Why doesn't it show up on your countenance? You know, that droopy is also a reflection of your heart. Droopy. Now, happiness is found in obeying God. It is a result of us being hearers and doers of what he has said. So what do you say that we stop in places so we can really have a happy new year as we become a happy new us? Let's all stand. You have not gone this way before, but you can leave the past behind and have a happy